Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study titled The Population During the Millennial Kingdom. This is part of our extended look at the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, which is based upon our previous studies in Revelation chapter 20. One of the great criticisms of premillennialism, which is the belief that Jesus comes back and establishes his kingdom and reigns on the earth for 1,000 years, is that it is based supposedly upon such scant information as found in Revelation chapter 20, in quote, from our critics. So we've taken time to see that Revelation 20 is simply the final declaration of the fulfillment of many prophecies numbering into the hundreds in the previous 65 books of the Bible, which foretold of this day when the kingdom of heaven would rule over mankind. And one of the finer points is to consider just exactly who will be ruled during this 1,000-year reign of King Jesus. And we've touched on this a number of times, but we've also received other questions, and we've assured our viewers and listeners and Bible students out there that we would cover this in a little more detail, and that's what we're going to do in this message. Sadly, most teachers only speak of the matter in passing, and they leave unanswered questions. And while any believer can find the answers if they dedicate the required amount of effort and study, it's also true that all of us benefit from the teaching and open discussion of these matters. Iron sharpens iron, as Proverbs 27:17 tells us, and Bible students miss out on this sharpening process when we're not allowed to test our knowledge by listening to other pastors and teachers and being Bereans, as Acts 17:11 tells us we ought to be, comparing Scripture with Scripture, making sure that what we're taught is so, but also checking what we believe, and while also being able to discuss these biblical teachings with other Bible believers. And I just want to explain that, because it appears by looking around at churches these days that most Christians are being robbed of this kind of study, to the point that some of you may find it strange that we take such time and care to put these questions into a full study. There's nothing discussed in Scripture, nothing revealed to us by God, that is too small for us to take care and to learn, and to learn accurately. So with that attitude, we'll now direct our attention to the Word of God as found in our infallible King James Bible. And as you listen, if you have any questions or comments, you may direct those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now our study. The title is The Population of the Millennial Kingdom, and this is part one of two.
Amen. And I know the Lord will be pleased if we ever get our own building and get a bubble machine. Oh, you think we need a bubble? We went to the fan's blowing them down. We went to that wedding, Shunt and Allie's wedding, and they gave these out. And I didn't use all mine up. And it's like you could go forever. Well, not forever, but you know what I mean. So if we ever get our own building, I'm going to get a bubble machine. You know, some of these churches use smoke and all that worldly stuff. We're going to use bubbles. And another thing I want to show you, I mentioned this earlier, this is the drought map.
Wow. Preach.
That is the basically the headquarters of Sodom and Gomorrah in this country. Isn't that something? Also, take note that it shouldn't be having the effect it's having in that area, except that liberals run California. And they did not listen and heed to the wise counsel from conservatives. And so they're all now trying to talk the Great Lakes states into letting them take that water. I don't know how in the world they think they're going to get over there. They're going to make a pipeline, I guess, or something. So anyway, I just wanted to show you that.
since we were discussing it. Thankfully, during the millennium, the only time that they're going to have drought like that is if they refuse to come to Jerusalem and offer sacrifice as required by King Jesus. And we're going to talk about the population of the millennial kingdom. We've touched on these things in previous studies, but questions remain. The reason we meet here is for you to learn the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And if we touch on some things here and there, and you think, well, there's still a lot more questions I have. Well, most of the time, just stick around. You're going to get it. But otherwise, I don't mind the questions. But sometimes my response will be, you know, wait a couple of weeks. We're going to nail that down. And I've told a few of you, you've asked some questions about the population during the millennial kingdom. And I told you we were going to do this study. So here we go. If you would turn in your Bibles, if they are King James Version,
Amen,
to Revelation chapter 2, verses 26 and 27. If you do not have a King James Bible, we have one over here for you with your name practically already on it. But I think everyone here has one. Just an FYI, if you know someone who needs a good Bible and they cannot afford it, we will give them one. If you would like to pay for a Bible for someone, the ones we give away, if you want a plain Bible, it's $8. A common man's reference we have for $10. And that's dirt cheap. If you want a copy for your own use, Common Man's Reference Bible, the notes are very good. I highly recommend it. But as you're turning to Revelation 2, we want to start with the understanding there will be mortal, non-glorified citizens in the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ, ruled by His government. And we've talked about that in our past studies, that you and I and all the saved will be in a glorified state who are raptured. Those who are left behind, if they lose their head or they're killed for not taking the mark, then I believe they will also be a part of that kingdom in a glorified state. But if they are on the earth, they don't take the mark, and they survive, that's who we're talking about here. You have to... When Jesus said, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved," He was talking about physically enduring the trials and surviving. That's what He's talking about. And when we think of this millennial kingdom government and the rule that we will have over these non-glorified citizens, that's where the church comes in. That's where we play a part. Read verse 26 with me. "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." Now, that's talking about believers. Who is he that overcometh but he that believeth on the name of the Son of God? It's not of works. He's not talking about over... In this case, this context, you overcome when you believe on the name of the Son of God.
Amen.
You're an overcomer. And if you don't, then you're left behind. But if you do, and it says, "Keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." That implies what we, I believe, can see in another study, that some will be in a glorified state, but will not be given positions of power and authority in the kingdom. Salvation is by grace through faith alone.
Amen.
But your works will influence or play a part in your reward. And so this idea that some Christians, some people will criticize that, saying, you preach that eternal security, and you're just telling people get saved and then just float through life till they get to heaven. No, that's not what we preach. We preach that once you're saved, you need to grow up spiritually and realize there's a lot at stake.
Amen.
And that your works will not only dictate your reward, but you're also playing a part in other lives. And by the time the whole thing is over with, you live a nice long life, you're going to have tens of thousands of people who have been touched one way or the other by your life. So what kind of effect are you going to have on all those people
You're going to find out on Judgment Day. When we stand before God on Judgment Day, we're not just going to be, you know, well, Greg, you did this right and that wrong. You're going to find out the effect that you had on other people.
Amen.
And of course, it's going to be a good thing if you preach the gospel. And let's say some lady gets saved, and she turns around and leads the rest of her family to the Lord. You see? The ripple effects. So that's implied here in this whole thing. But you will be given power over the nations during that millennial kingdom if you're saved and you've kept the works that God has for you. Revelation 2:27 then says, read that with me, "And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." That sounds interesting. And we'll talk more about that in another study. But that, I love these verses that talk about what we're going to be doing during the millennial kingdom. We shall rule. It's hard for many believers to accept, but it is a fact of God's Word.
Amen.
If you believe God's Word.
Amen.
In Revelation 20, verse 6, we saw where it says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection." That includes those of us raptured. You're either going to be the dead in Christ. If you die, you'll go first. And then we which are alive and remain. So if right now the rapture happened, you'd be among them which are alive and remain. But if you drop dead today and the rapture happens next week, you'll be among the dead in Christ. That's the first resurrection. "On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ." Read that with me. "And shall reign with him 1,000 years. And a lot of folks try to put that as a passive thing where we're just with him while he's reigning. But the Bible doesn't paint that picture. We will reign with him. It doesn't say we'll watch him reign. Who will we rule? This is a question a lot of people don't understand, don't have a full grasp of. The millennium will begin with a reduced population. At the end of the tribulation, we're going to see it. I'm going to run through it point by point with you for a few minutes. And by the time the millennium starts, the population that this world sees today, it will have been drastically reduced. But by the end of the millennium, it will again become massive. And I mean massive. Now, here's a reality check. This all starts after the rapture of the church. Everybody understand that?
Amen.
And once the rapture takes place, the population spirals until the time of the millennial reign. In other words, whatever the population of the earth is at the time of the rapture, it'll never be that way again until the millennium. We'll see that. Scripture gives us details. So let's take a closer look at who enters the kingdom. Who gets into the millennial kingdom? You can check out the figures I'm going to use about world population at this website, ourworldindata.org. I provide that because every time I do one of these studies, people always ask me, where do you get those figures? Ourworldindata.org. I want to start with this basic pie chart. The general population is approaching 7.5 billion. I'm putting that out. It's not quite there yet, but I'm just being, you know, approximating. Someone watches this a few months from now, it's going to be very close to that. And a few years from now, we will have passed this up. So let's start with this pie chart. This is before the rapture. There's 7.5 billion people. This is in the billions, these numbers on the chart. And that's the general population. At some point, at any moment, the dead go up first. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Obviously, this will not affect global population. But in the next moment, the believers go up. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, "Then," it's like immediately after, And there's some people who are teaching that those dead might walk around for 40 days and 40 nights or something like that. I'm not convinced of that at all. And I don't believe there's going to... That'd be kind of like a big warning that the rapture is about to happen. I don't think anything like that. There's also movies, by the way, where they show this one. I think it's called The Moment After. And there's another one where people start to hear noises and see things and glow before they go up. And that kind of stuff. And there's a couple of very blasphemous, like three or four that I know of, very blasphemous movies where they show a rapture scene. And they show people like going up, you know, and being sucked up in a light and that sort of thing. Yeah. And I don't recommend going out looking for the movies because they're rated R and bad stuff. But they're mocking the rapture in those movies. And what the Bible just says, the dead in Christ rise first and then we go up. And it's going to happen in a moment and in the twinkling of an eye. So you're not going to have time. People aren't going to be watching this happen. And it's not. I don't think there's going to be a 40-day difference between the dead and the living. Read verse 17 with me. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the believers go up.
Or you may even come.
Just like that. And as a result of the rapture of the living Christians, the world population will shrink. At that moment, I believe the 7.5 figure drops to 7. And I believe that's conservatively speaking. What I mean by that is there are supposed to be about 2.5 billion professing Christians on this planet. That's including Roman Catholics, Orthodox, Protestants, and, you know, all the offshoots and all that, and then all the Baptists and everything. Well, first of all, most of those churches don't preach the biblical gospel. And so it's doubtful that most of their members are saved. Because, folks, even in churches where they preach the biblical gospel, there are going to be people left behind in those churches. Because if you're not saved, you're not saved. It doesn't matter where you go to church. You're the saved or you're not. And in some of these mega churches, for example, there are people in these mega churches who go week after week and are never confronted with their error, never hear a biblical gospel message. In the meantime, they're involved in the occult, New Age, whatever. Somebody was telling us about a young person who went on a date with this guy who claimed to be a Christian, you know, and he goes to a Christian church. Well, then, in the course of the conversation, he says, oh yeah, my favorite author is Eckhart Tolle. Doesn't ring a bell? He's Oprah's New Age guru. And this guy is a Christian, and that's his favorite. No, Eckhart Tolle is a blasphemer. And I'm telling you, I think it's very likely that only about 500 million out of 2.5 billion professing Christians really go up in the rapture.
Wow.
And if so, then that's what the pie chart looks like. Now you're down to 7 billion of the general population. Then come the seal judgments. And this is a review. We've studied this in our Revelation studies. Revelation 6:8 begins by saying, and I looked and beheld, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. Oh man, that was an interesting study. Go watch it. Read the second part here. When the seal judgment starts, the population goes down again. Read it with me. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. A fourth of the population on the earth at that time. The seal judgments result in a drop of 1/4 of the world population. That would take us from 7 to 5.25 billion people. Right there. Just like that. That was the population the year I was saved.
Wow.
Just like that. And it wasn't that many years ago. Some of you looking at me. So here's your pie chart. Here's 1.75. There's what were raptured. So what's left? 5.25 billion after the seal judgments. Then you have the trumpet judgments. In Revelation 9:18, we studied this. It says, "By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths." It's an ugly, massive judgment. Now, one of the things, I just want to throw this out there free of charge here, but a lot of people try to say that the seals and trumpets and the vials are not chronological, that you kind of put them side by side and they match up, and they try to match the one-third with the one-fourth. I want to ask you just a very complicated question, but I think I'll get a good answer out of you. Is one-third the same as one-fourth?
No.
Things that are different... Okay, just checking myself there. So that means these aren't the same. And a third part of men are killed after the sixth trumpet. And that drops us from 5.25 to 3.5 billion people. How many of you were even around in 1967? No, I didn't ask you to raise your hands. I'm trying to stay out of trouble because I wasn't here. But that's going to drop to the population of 1967. Okay, I got a funny one here. I'll tell you real quick. I worked with some older ladies, a little older than me, but they were sweet ladies, and we all sit around these desks and talk. And it was the anniversary of the landing on the moon. And they were like, "Oh, I remember. What were you doing?" And they were, "Oh, I remember. I was in school. I remember. I was on a trip, and I was over here, and I just remember seeing it on the little black and white TV," and they were all talking. I just sat there. And they said, "Well, Greg, do you remember?" I said, "Oh, yeah. Where were you when we landed on the moon?" I said, "All I remember is hearing, 1 small step for man, 1 giant leap for mankind. They just looked at me, "What?" I said, "I was in my mama's womb." Yeah. I was born 2 months later. So reality check. 1/4 of 7 billion, and this is approximate numbers, but it's approximately 1.75 billion. 1/3 of 5.25 billion is 1.75 billion. Isn't that interesting? 3.5 billion die after the rapture. There's 7 billion. So 3.5 billion die, 3.5 billion remain at this point. Folks, we have never seen anything like this. Since Noah's flood, Earth has never seen anything like this.
Wow.
And it's interesting. You look at the pie chart, and you got this judgment, that judgment, the rapture leaves 3.5 billion in the population pie chart. And of this 3.5 billion, only a small portion enters the kingdom. Okay? We got down to 3.5 billion. Only a small portion of that enters the kingdom. Jesus said this in Matthew 7:14. Read it. "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Just want to say this. A lot of people, this is a big hang-up for them because there's a lot of people going to hell. And there's a lot of people who, that presents a big problem for them, because they, in their mind, fix a fake God in their own image. Their version of God would never send most people to hell. He would only send really, really bad people to hell. They don't recognize how holy God is. They also refuse to, and the Bible says liars go to the lake of fire. These people who set this standard up are liars, because they will not recognize the reality of how wicked every single human being is. Every single human being deserves to be in hell for eternity. So if you get the right perspective, then you think, why does he save any of us? That's the question. The question is, how does God send that many people to hell? No, the question is, why did He save me? Why does He save any of us? And when you look at what's going to happen in the tribulation period, why does He save any of them? Even the ones who don't take the mark. They're only there because they rejected Him or left behind the rapture. And Jesus said, few there be that find it. But when He returns, it's to destroy all of His enemies. It's on, sorry, as I can see. Jesus returns to destroy all of His enemies. In Revelation 19, the remaining Christ-rejecting rebels among the 3.5 billion who still live, they're referred to, think of this, as the remnant. It's half of what was there after the rapture. And it's referred to as the remnant. I spelled it wrong. The returning king slays the rebellious remnant. Now we've read this in Revelation 19:21. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. I want everybody to listen to me for just a second if you're not already. We're not even grasping this right now. We'd all be shook up if we were grasping this right now. And I want to tell you something. Just when weird things happen, I get shook up. And I was sitting in my home yesterday, and I was reading Matthew 4, and I was reading about Jesus fulfilling the prophecies about His first coming. And I was just sitting there thinking, that is so awesome. And anybody who wants to know God can open this book and they can see the evidence of God in prophecy. And then we see what's going on with the second coming, the stage being set before our eyes. And just as I'm having that thought, I hear this. And I mean loud. And I look over at our window and I see a flock of these little, you thought they were sparrows. And they're just flying everywhere like in a movie. Just freaked me out, man. I mean, this. I jump up. I'm looking at the dogs. Roxy, Charlie's little mutt, she's usually right on top of me, all right? She was backing up and looking at me like, what was that? And, of course, Sebby went in the bedroom. He's our big, brave guard dog. So I walk up and I go up to the door and I open the door and I look. And there's a couple of them wobbling around on the ground. And then they get up and they fly away. And then I start to step out and I look and there's one right there, dead. Right in front of our front door. I got video and I'm going to show it Sunday. But I didn't get video of the actual event. I got video of the aftermath. The little dead bird and me all shook up. Yeah, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I hear the stories about the chemtrails and the magnetic poles shifting and all these mass bird kills and mass whale kills and mass animal kills all over the world. And I just felt like I got a little taste of it.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.